For WTOP News, it's The Book Report, and I'm Tariq King. We hear it all the time, references to people's generations and the characteristics that they supposedly share. Dr. Gene Twenge, author of Generations, The Real Difference Between Silence, Boomers, Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z. Dr. Gene Twenge is a professor of psychology at San Diego State University. She's been studying generational data for 30 years. On the eve of the book's release, I talked to Dr. Twenge for the book report about why she thinks it's important to study and understand the differences between the generations that dominate American culture today.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you used the word understand, because for me, that's the biggest thing, is to try to understand each other's perspectives as people who are born at different times and thus have had very different experiences. And I think the best way to do that is to go straight to the source. You know, really big surveys that have been done in lots and lots of Americans across the country, sometimes people around the world, and try to compare those. We're in the age of big data. We don't need to make guesses anymore about what the generational differences are.
And it's chock full of data showing trends over time. So can you just talk a little bit more about your sources and how you pulled all this together?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been working with big national data sets for a while now. But with this book, because it's about all of the generations, I've really broadened the scope, you know, started looking at lots of big surveys of adults as well. So it ended up 24 databases, 39 million people. These are mostly nationally representative surveys. They ask about everything, you know, stuff on mental health, as well as politics and attitudes and values, just trying to see, you know, what's different about these fascinating generations.
Some people might reject this kind of book. They might treat it as something akin to astrology, and they'll go, you know, you can't generalize entire groups of people because of when they were born.
Yeah, well, you know, I get why people have that idea, you know, because there is a lot of speculation around generations. There's even a lot of books and articles that is, you know, just kind of guess about things. But yeah, we don't need to do that anymore. We can use real data. And I like that, because then, you know, we're really getting to the heart of the matter. And then sure, it is somewhat artificial to put people, you know, into groups. But humans do that all the time. You know, we classify people by where they're from, by age group. You know, we talk about teenagers like they're a monolithic group, especially, but, you know, of course they're not. You know, somebody who's 13 is pretty different from somebody who's 19. And, you know, almost everyone agrees that cultures change. I think almost everybody agrees that living now is different from what it was like to live certainly 100 years ago, but even 10 years ago. And so then we're just quibbling over the details, like where are we going to put the birth year cutoffs?
So what drives generational change? You say the classic theories of generational change focus almost exclusively on one aspect of cultural change, which is life events. But you argue that technology, and when we say technology, most people think of the internet and smartphones, which are important for the later generations. But technology in the larger sense should be considered just as important. Talk a little bit about that.
Technology is really what makes living now different from living 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 20 years ago, right? So, because it's not just smartphones or the internet or social media. I mean, obviously that's had a big impact, but it's also things like washing machines and refrigerators and air conditioning, airplanes, just all of these things that save time, are convenient, you know, make things move faster. A lot of it is around time saving, which is really interesting.
And so now the theory here is that technology drives this sort of ease or pace of life, which then in turn drives individualism versus collectivism. And that at the root of that interplay is the cultural differences between these generations of the last 20th century. Have I got it? Am I near it?
Yeah, you're definitely near it. Technology has direct effects. We talked about some of those, but then it has two other things that are kind of downstream effects. So individualism, more focus on the self and less on others, you know, that has led to things like more equality. It's led to things that are not quite as positive, like just more disconnection and instability. And then the slow life strategy. So that's the theory of the slow versus fast life. Basically, technology, because of better medical care, has led people to have longer lives. Our lifespans are much longer than they used to be. So that means the developmental trajectory has slowed down from every stage, from infancy to old age. that kids are less independent, teens are less likely to get their driver's license or have a job, young adults take longer to get married and have children and settle into a career, and then middle-aged people look and feel younger than their parents or grandparents did at the same age. You know, it's 50 is the new 40 and 60 is the new 50. You know, so we have more time. Even though the pace of life is faster because of technology, we live more years of life, and so we take longer at each stage.
Does that contribute then to why the Silents, which is the oldest generational cohort included in the book, seem to have such staying power?
So Silents are an interesting generation. You know, first, the total misnomer, right? These were the leaders of the civil rights movement. These were the leaders of the feminist movement. So everything but Silent. But they did not have a US president until Joe Biden was elected. The presidency skipped from the greatest generation to the boomers and skipped over the Silents. But they've done really well, and are still a lot of leaders, say, in the Senate. And the House of Representatives. And that's partially because of that lengthened lifespan.
So we get to the boomers. I'm hard pressed to come up with one of these generations that has seen so many sort of changes in their ethos.
Well, that's going to be interesting to watch, you know, because, you know, boomers are such an interesting case because they're so big. They really did dominate the culture in a way that the generations that followed them couldn't because they didn't have just so many people. But yeah, boomers had such a huge shift politically. They went from being, you know, very liberal, very Democrat in the 60s and 70s to in the 80s, like it felt like almost overnight, becoming much more conservative and Republican. But you know, not all of the perceptions of boomers in middle and older age are right, because there's a strong perception, especially among millennials, I think, of, oh, you know, boomers are all rich and powerful, and you know, they made the system and they pulled up the ladder after they were done, and then we couldn't climb up. But you know, I think they're forgetting that there were a lot of boomers who started their careers, then the US economy shifted away from manufacturing and towards service, and a lot of those folks lost their jobs. You know, they, well, why would I go to college? I can get a factory job like my dad. And then those jobs were gone. So there's a big segment of the boomers, you know, who are not doing very well at all, not just in terms of income, but that's also where we're getting, you know, a lot of drug overdoses, alcoholism, all kinds of problems.
Let's look at the celebrated Generation X. What are the most noteworthy things that jumped out from the research about this particular cohort?
We're probably the last generation to really value that real world experience, that toughness, in a way that I think millennials and especially Gen Z does not. And then we were first to a lot of the technology. One thing that really struck me in thinking about Gen X was how I think we were the last, at least whole generation, to have a unified pop culture experience. I think some older millennials had that too, but then, you know, it became much more atomized. So just certain TV shows, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, movies, things like that, Gen Xers can identify with them, and we talk about them, and we love talking about our pop culture in a way that other generations think is weird. I think for, especially for Gen Z and a lot of younger millennials, it's like, oh, you guys are, that's irrelevant. Like it just feels like a totally different world because it was pre-internet.
Okay, so millennials, can you just tell me what you find to be sort of the defining characteristics of millennials that set them apart from the generations before?
Yeah. So with millennials, I think individualism is probably their most defining characteristic, because that trend to more focus on the self and less on others had been growing, you know, from boomers to Gen Xers to millennials. And then it really peaks. That sense of self-confidence and optimism really peaked with millennials when they were young. That soured some as they got older. Some of that was the Great Recession. Some of it was, I think, the expectations that a lot of millennials had were so high, they may not have ever had the real chance to be fulfilled. And I think, too, that the discussions of things online, on some social media platforms, on the news, you know, took a real negative turn about 10 or 15 years ago. And I think that's had a particular impact on millennials forming their political identities at those times as young adults. And you know, one particular way that it had a big impact was it started this, it was contributed anyway to the narrative that millennials were all broke and they were going to be the first generation to not do as well as their parents, that this was all set up. And it turns out, yes, there was a big downturn during the Great Recession for the incomes of young adults, but they have roared back And millennials are actually now making more money than Gen Xers and boomers were at the same age, contrary to the popular narrative.
And then we have Gen Z. These are kids who have reached young adulthood during the COVID-19 pandemic. They barely remember a pre-Trump world, and their entire lives have essentially been lived online. There are a lot of articles being written now about a purported mental health crisis involving Gen Z. I don't, would you define it as a crisis?
Yeah, I think it is unfortunately not at all an exaggeration to say that it's a mental health crisis. For example, clinical level depression among teens doubled between 2011 and 2019. I think here a lot of it is the direct effect of technology and its after effects. Well, the end of 2012 is the first time the majority of Americans owned a smartphone. It's also around the time that social media use moved from optional to virtually mandatory among teens. And also the algorithms kind of changed around that time. Facebook bought Instagram. Social media wasn't as much, kind of a fun place. It was someplace you had to be, and there were all these pressures involved. That's also around the time teens started sleeping less, maybe because the technology was keeping them up. And then they also started spending less time with their friends face to face. So electronic communication replaced in-person get-togethers. And that's not a good formula for mental health.
We only have a few minutes left. I think that we've really dipped into what the through line is for all of this. There's just so much information here. And I think that that's where I would like to wind up. It's
It is a long
intimidating.
book.
It's intimidating looking, but I don't think you intend it as the to be read like one would read a novel. This feels almost like a
No.
reference
And
book
that's the
you
fun
kind of
thing. If
continue.
you want to start with your generation, or if you just want to start with your kids' generation, you can do that. If you want to start by just flipping through and looking at the graphs, go for it. I have at the beginning of each chapter, I have like famous people in the generations you want to look through. He goes, and oh, I remember that show. I used to watch that when I was a kid. You can have fun with it.
For me, it's going to be one of these things that I go back to and go back to and go back to and go back to. There's so much information here. Thank you so
Okay.
much for your time, Dr. Twenge.
Thanks for having me on.
And I thank you all for listening to the Book Report. Happy New Year, and for WTOP News, I'm Tariq King.